Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, July 17th, 2023. I'm joined by Alex Brown from Cornwall, England. Alex, how are things going?
Very good. Thank you, Graham.
Happy 300. The podcast is now 300 episodes old. I cannot believe it.
That is crazy. I mean, I remember when we all started. It doesn't seem, but I know it. Doesn't seem that long ago, but what we've done is consistently week in, week out, record podcasts.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, I went back to do a little digging and we started the show on March 7th, 2018. So a little more than like 5 years ago. And at the outset, Jeanette Brown, who was our Clear Admit's former editor in chief, she was initially the host. And the very first episode was about interviewing at business school. I actually made a guest appearance on that episode. We did have the same theme music, and you actually made many appearances at the beginning as a guest. So Jeanette was kind of having you and I come on the show all the time. And then she kind of moved on, left Clear Admit, and we were kind of left, you know, to our own devices. So you and I kind of took over and and went from there. But yeah, it was really, I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, Spotify and Apple, by the way, typically host only, I think it's 100 or 200 episodes, but you can go back on our website and find all the old episodes and listen to them. I was like tempted to go back and listen to a little of the first one, but then I just decided it would just make me feel, you know, we weren't as polished as we are now, right? So I just stayed away.
Yeah. And just so in case anybody doesn't know, where does that theme tune come from, Graham?
Oh, I wrote it. Yeah, it's from the band that I play in. So it was, and it's not, you know, it's going to sound like an ego trip, but actually the reason that we did it is the producer who was helping us with the podcast at the time, this guy named John, he was kind of a music scene person from Philadelphia, and we were looking for theme music, and he knew about the band that I played in, and he said, you know, the best thing you could possibly do is just use something you've written because there's no royalties.
Right.
So that's why we picked it. And then we kind of have just stuck with it. But 300 episodes later, we have had over 300,000 listeners tune into the show, which is, I just had to share that number. It's actually 302,000 and change, but right around, you know, it's kind of a really cool, big number. And we've had listeners from nearly every country on earth. The only exceptions, I kind of looked at this, so no one in Greenland has tuned in. I'm very disappointed. We don't have anybody from North Korea, Cuba, and there are like a few other countries. But literally, Alex, I mean, people have tuned into this podcast in almost every country on earth, which is like crazy to me.
Brilliant.
I just can't even believe it. Yeah. And we've profiled, I think we mentioned this, we profiled over 600 real candidates via the wiretaps episodes that we do. And these are people who are either applying to school or who are looking for advice about where to attend. And as you said, we've aired this show like each and every week for several years now without missing a single week. We've got a 4.9-star rating on Apple and a 5-star rating on Spotify, hundreds of ratings and reviews. Yeah, just really cool. And I think Lauren on our team has put together an article about the 300th episode that should be on the site when you're hearing this. And that's got some fun quotes from people who've tuned in. We've had admissions directors from Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, Kellogg, Chicago. I mean, the list goes on and on. And we've had professors, deans, Mauro Guillen from Wharton's been on, Derek Rucker, who's a famous marketing professor at Kellogg. So just, it's been so much fun to do these episodes. And I do want to give a little shout out to Lauren Wackel, who did a lot of the writing about the show at the beginning and has helped kind of get us equipped to do it ourselves. John Pfeffer, who was our original producer, Alex Kelly, who produced for a while, and of course, Dennis Crowley, who's probably produced the most episodes of anyone and does all these, you know, week in and week out and has been so helpful. And all of our guests, and actually, maybe most importantly, Alex, I wanted to thank you for all the work you've done on this.
No, it's absolutely brilliant. I love it. Yeah, this is my favorite. This is my favorite sort of task, as it were, for Clear Admit, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun doing it.
Congratulations, Graham and Alex, on your 300th episode of Clear Admit. I just want to take this time to say that I've appreciated what you guys have been doing for so long. I remember every day of one summer, I would listen to Clear Admit when I went on walks, and I owe a huge debt of gratitude to the two of you, because I think without your podcast, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to gain admissions into MIT Sloan, which is where I will be attending next fall. I appreciate you guys.
So in any event, we should probably get down to business. So I wanted to ask you, has there been anything happening on the wires? Like, we're now well into July. I assume students are beginning to show up on some of these campuses or at least get moved in to get ready for preterm and things like that.
Well, as you can imagine, it's a little bit slow on Livewire. Actually, activity on ApplyWire's picked up, or at least we had this odd incident on Wednesday. We're recording on Tuesday. We're recording on Wednesday, where there were seven new ApplyWire entries. So I thought that was very good. A couple of them have gone into the ether for momentarily because we've got big news to break, Graham. And what is that big news?
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot. Yeah, we launched a new version of clearadmit.com last week. So when you're hearing this, the new site's already online. And yeah, that was a huge project that we kind of kept under wraps because you never want to talk about it till it's live. But yeah, we have a new website, which is quite fast.
Yeah. No, we're very excited about that. We will provide more stuff regarding that in next week's episode. Right now, we just want to make sure things work.
Right, exactly. So the other thing is that we are continuing with our event series. This week, I'm going to sit down with admissions directors from Booth, Tuck, Wharton, and Darden at noon Eastern on Wednesday, so July 19th. You can sign up at bit.ly/CAMBAessay. And in the weeks that follow, we've got a couple more. We're going to talk with Columbia, Cornell, NC at LBS, Yale. I mean, there's a whole bunch of schools you can go on our website and find out more. But other than that, yeah, we're really enjoying these Essay Insight events. We did connect with some admissions directors, actually, as a part of our admissions director Q&A series on the website. So that's Lauren on our team who does those interviews. We heard from Donna Swinford, who's the admissions director at Chicago Booth, and she actually offered a piece of advice that I wanted to share. She, you know, we ask about essays. We ask for kind of lots of admissions tips and nuggets in hopes that they give us some good stuff. And Donna said, "As you may know, our essays have a word minimum, but no max. We get a lot of questions around why that is, but really it's just to allow you to use the space how you see fit and to ensure that we have enough substance to review. I always say it would be a missed opportunity if applicants fail to use the essay and other elements of the application to express the passion behind what drives you. We want to know what motivates candidates and how that influences their MBA paths." So that's her take on the limitless essay word counts at Booth, which I do think is kind of a challenge. And I will actually be asking, I think it's Donna, or I can't remember who's taking part from Booth, but I will be asking more questions about that in the session that we do this week on Wednesday. So, because she's going to be joining us, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't Harvard use that same approach?
So Harvard used to have no minimum, but they've actually introduced a word count. I think theirs is 900 words for that kind of open-ended essay now. Okay. So yeah, they move back from that. I'm not sure why. But in any event, we also connected with Lindsay Lloyd, who is the admissions dean at Stern. And she gave us a couple of quick tidbits. She said, first was kind of just about NYU. She said, "This may seem obvious because New York is in our name and is our location, but it goes so much deeper than that. It's our locational endowment. Stern is in and of the city, intertwined with it. And what does this mean for our students? Well, it means that we offer a vast array of Stern Solutions experiential learning opportunities for our MBAs." So she elaborates in the article that we did with her, but definitely was playing up the New York angle and the sort of opportunities that people have to, you know, get working with actual companies and in kind of experiential settings. And then she also offered a tidbit on their essays. She said, "Our change and pick six essays are an opportunity for applicants to have some fun and introduce themselves more personally to the admissions committee. These essays are also where we're looking for elements of EQ, self-awareness, empathy, communication, resilience, openness to new ideas and diverse perspectives, etc." So that was kind of her, you know, nugget of admissions advice from that Q&A. Obviously, if you're applying to Stern or Booth, go read these, you know, these articles that we've published. They're really useful. And then the last person, Alex, that we connected with was Rebecca Mallon Churchill. And she's the admissions director at ASU Cary. And I thought one thing that was kind of interesting, and I didn't know this about Arizona State, she said that we ask a question about, you know, is there something that you wish people knew more about? And she said, "I wish people knew more about our interdisciplinary curriculum. it is increasingly standard for B schools to tout this style of curriculum, but most often what they mean is that their business departments work alongside or with each other. So finance collaborates with marketing, consulting works on projects with data analytics, etc. But when we say this, we really capitalize on our home here at the number one most innovative university in the country. Our interdisciplinary learning labs pair our full-time MBA students with graduate students across ASU. They work in projects with students in engineering, education, biodesign, public programs. The possibilities truly are endless. So that was kind of interesting. I've never really heard of a school doing that kind of interdisciplinary stuff, at least on the MBA side. So that's kind of interesting.
No, very good. Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Graham and Alex. Daddy went to business school.
You got it. Thank you guys so much. Loving Kellogg, 1 year in. Couldn't have done it without you. So glad that you guys are doing this podcast, and congrats on 300. That's such a huge accomplishment. Miss listening to you guys each week, but I'm too busy with studying for finals and doing recruiting. But that's exactly where I want to be, and I couldn't have gotten here without you guys. So thanks so much. Congrats.
Yeah. So other than that, if you want to reach out to Alex and I, you can write us at info@clearadmit.com. Use the subject line wiretaps. Alex, I know you picked out some candidates. We've had a flurry of apply wire entries, which makes sense. It's kind of that time of year. So if you don't have anything else, I guess we can get started with our candidates for the week.
Let's kick on.
All right. So this is Wiretaps candidate number one. So we've got an apply wire entry that you've chosen. This is a candidate that is applying to start in the fall of 24. They are applying to Duke, Michigan, UCLA, UNC, USC, and UT Austin McCombs. They have worked for almost 8.5 years now. So they did 7.5 years as a U.S. Army field artillery officer, and then 1 year as a management consulting at Accenture, which is, that's their current position. Post-MBA, they're thinking about consulting or tech, and they've got Accenture, Deloitte, Microsoft, and some others on the list. Their GRE score, and they've taken it, and I think they might be planning a retake, is a 306. Their GPA is a 3.4. Again, 8.5 years of total experience. They're located in Raleigh, North Carolina, and they want to stay either east or west, but not in between post-MBA. So they want to land on one of the coasts. They also mentioned that, you know, they're currently working at Accenture in management consulting, doing kind of healthcare and public service related projects from that office in North Carolina. And again, they've been there for about a year since they left the military. And so the big thing that they were asking about is they're really worried about the GRE. They have a 157 on the verbal and a 149 on the quant, and those translate to a 75th percentile and a 33rd percentile. So Alex, one last tidbit, this person's 29, male and Hispanic, although they mentioned they're not so sure that being Hispanic matters in the wake of the Supreme Court decision. So what do you make of this situation, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, that comment in of itself is quite interesting. I still think it does matter, but it matters about your story.
Yeah.
So how far you've come, what you've had to overcome as a underrepresented minority, if that's the case, and so on and so forth. So just making sure, and that's the beauty of MBA admissions applications, there's plenty of room for storytelling.
Right.
So that's very good. Now, this candidate is a little bit unorthodox for a military candidate because they've left the military. They are now in the first year of a consulting gig. I'm assuming they'll complete 2 years of that before then attending business school. Typically, we see folks coming directly from the military into a top-tier MBA and then going off to do consulting to then move on into whatever role it is in the long run, which oftentimes is operations-related, senior executive-type role. But that said, so this is a little different. This 306 GRE is troublesome, for sure. I mean, you can imagine the rest of this candidate's profile looks relatively strong. I mean, obviously, we don't know a lot about their military career, but 7.5 years as a U.S. Army field artillery officer. Let's just assume that that piece of their candidacy is really strong. And as any veteran, we encourage them to reach out to the related veterans groups to sort of connect them with the schools that they're targeting and so on and so forth. 3-4 GPA is just a little bit below the median. We don't know anything, I think, about the actual undergraduate degree. Is there any quant in there? I don't think there is much quant in there. I think I did ask that question, actually.
Yeah, they said no, not much quant. Yeah.
So this is troublesome. They claim that their work experience has exposed them to some complicated math. But I would say their approach needs to be twofold. One is they do need to do whatever they can to shore up that GRE. So really doing a deep dive on whatever preparation they can. And the nice thing is they've gotten a bit of additional guidance from another candidate on some of the prep that they did to bolster their GRE. So maybe there are resources out there where they can make a significant improvement, especially on that quant side. I would also say that they should go ahead and do MBA Math or HBS Core or Graham. What is the GMAT version?
Oh, Business Fundamentals, yeah.
Yes, I'm going to get that one day, Business Fundamentals from GMAT. Because, again, whilst they might think that their math skills enable them to transition into the MBA in a fine fashion, I think it shows a good degree of self-awareness that they recognise that this is something that the admissions committee is going to be anxious about. So they really need to deliver not only on a better GRE score, but some additional coursework in that quant area, which is clearly the weakness. So that would be my advice. I mean, they're targeting top 16, top 20 programs. So not being overly ambitious there, Graham. If they get that GRE score up, I would imagine that they would be, those programs are certainly within their wheelhouse.
Yeah, and I think, one other thing that they had asked us about, so I agree 100% with you, work as hard as they can on the GRE. My view is that getting the math score up on the GRE when you're, apologies for being very blunt here, but when you're this far down, it's actually, if you spend some time learning the concepts, practicing, it's actually not so hard to boost the score. Obviously, if they were at the 80 percentile trying to get to 100, that's another story, but they're pretty down. So I think there's room to move it up with some hard work. And I also think taking Business Fundamentals, MBA Math, one of those kind of other courses to help demonstrate aptitude and interest in getting ready for business school would be smart. The last thing they asked us, though, is they're kind of interested in the video game industry as kind of another area of just something they might want to do. But, so far they've had this experience with Accenture in kind of healthcare and public service and stuff. And so my view is that feels like an easier fit. Like, I don't know that I would want to, because we're already dealing with like military, then consulting with healthcare. If we throw in video games, to me, it makes sort of another... It may just make the story a bit more complex than it needs to be. And so, I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Graham, that's an excellent point. Yeah. Forget the video game sort of idea and stick to healthcare. Because, when I was interacting with the candidate on the site, I neglected to recognize that their focus at Accenture is sort of healthcare and public service, and that makes sense being in Raleigh and so forth, in the Triangle area.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I only really see it now because we've got this beautiful sort of view of ApplyWire entries where the notes are broken up into those paragraph things. It's absolutely brilliant.
I know. That's one of the nice things about the new website. So in any event, I want to wish this candidate the best of luck. We didn't talk about it, but I think, their years as a U.S. Army field artillery officer are, that's not like sort of the highest ranking thing. So I think it's actually nice that they've already transitioned into business at a really top company like Accenture. Yeah. So I think that, there's a lot to like here, as you often say. And I just feel like if they could get that test score up, they really could be in contention at a lot of these top schools. So I would just buckle down and work on that for the next month or two and then resurface to really write those applications and things. But so best of luck to them and appreciate them sharing their profile with us.
Hi, Alex and Graham. Congratulations on reaching your incredible 300th episode milestone. I'm absolutely thrilled to be a part of this special moment. Your podcast has been an absolute game changer, not just for me, but for countless other aspiring MBA candidates. And it's because you add exceptional value to the community by providing such great insights, strategies, and ultimately help support hundreds of others to pursue their aspirations. Here's to many more episodes filled with exciting stories and actionable guidance. Congratulations once again. Cheers.
Hey, Graham and Alex, just wanted to say congratulations for your 300th episode. I know I've probably listened to over 250 of them. Your advice that you give is the best resource that I had for my MBA admissions journey, and I know that you'll continue to make an impact on applicants in the future. Congrats again.
Let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number two. So our second candidate, Alex, is a bit of an early bird. This person is looking to start in 2025. So they're, you know, kind of thinking, you know, long term. And they've got schools, a bunch of schools on their list. They've got Carnegie Mellon, Columbia, Georgetown, Harvard, MIT, NYU, Chicago, Darden, and Yale on their list. And pre-MBA, they've basically been working as a director of sales and marketing for an assisted living community, but also are extensively involved in several kind of side hustles, mostly relating to cryptocurrency. So they are thinking venture capital after business school. That's where they'd love to land. And they have, you know, Andreessen Horowitz, Sequoia on the list. They've got a GPA of 3.86 from undergrad. And this person's only really been working for about a year. They actually graduated a semester early from undergrad. They went to a top 25 state school, did their undergrad in operations and information management, and then, you know, kind of took a little time before landing this current job. But they mentioned that they're a little bored in their current role, and that's why they have these side hustles. They mentioned they work as a prop trader within crypto, and, you know, they kind of have started, I guess, some kind of crypto research. They're working as a crypto research intern at a startup. So, yeah, kind of two very different, you know, it's like when you think of an assisted living community, I'm guessing that the residents in the assisted living community don't know much about crypto, you know, and so then on the other side, they're working in crypto. So they're like two very different domains that they're kind of spending time in. And they're mentioning that they actually don't want to apply to school until the fall of 25. So they're actually thinking fall 26 start, right? So they have a couple of years here basically to work on their candidacy, and they were seeking our advice. They haven't taken the GMAT yet. They're thinking about maybe taking it before the old format goes away. And they say they're trying to get 720 plus, and they're wondering about what to do with their career between now and when they go off to business school, because they're a bit bored in their current role. And they just are trying to figure out what makes sense. And they have a lot of different ideas that you went through with them. So one of them is like, oh, should I go work full-time at this crypto startup? Should I stay in my current role? Should I join a two-year corporate paralegal program at a top 15 law firm? So they have a lot, and these are all over the map, right? And so, and they mentioned they're a white male, so they're looking for ways to differentiate. So I'll stop there, Alex, but what do you make of this situation?
Well, what I really like about this candidate is, like you said, they're looking to apply in a couple of years. So they're really sort of looking for guidance now to set themselves up a couple of years' time to optimize their candidacy. So that shows a lot of forethought, so I really like that. And I think some of what is listed here, you know, in terms of what they're doing and various other things, is sort of symptomatic of someone that is early in the process.
Yeah, that's right. So
I think that's very good, and so forth. You know, they got a 3.86 GPA, so I'm figuring out that they're smart. They've done well at university. They graduated early, so they're in a bit of a hurry to get out of there, I suppose. but you know, they've done well. I want to see a really strong GMAT score, right? So you know, they've delivered well with their GPA at a state school, a top 25 state school, I think, is what they qualified it as.
Yeah.
So really focus hard, prep really well, and get the very best GMAT that they can get. They've got a couple of years to do that, but the sooner the better. Get it out of the way. Then it's something that they don't have to worry about. Now, they're obviously, like you say, they're bored at work. they want to do something different. They've got all these side hustles or whatever. So what I would suggest that they do is, if they're truly passionate and interested in this crypto startup type scenario, is to go all in and go work full-time in that startup environment, whatever it is. really try to, you know, make that impact and that growth, you know, through this sort of, I guess, more of a risky sort of environment. But I think that plays a lot better than, you know, this is, you can imagine someone on an evening spending a couple of hours sort of working away at something with a few mates across the internet or whatever, as a side hustle. I think make it front and center if that's what they're truly interested in. They're clearly not interested in their current work situation.
Yeah.
I don't think becoming a paralegal is an easy sell to a top adcom. And so forth. One, you've got to explain the value of being a paralegal for those 2 years. It seems like then they're sort of bopping around a little bit, sort of in a bit of a random fashion. So explaining those whys behind their changes is going to be more challenging. It's a lot easier to explain, all right, I worked a year in this situation. I got a lot of leadership and I had, you know, was given a lot of responsibility, but there was something missing. I had a passion for crypto, so I went all in this startup environment for 2 years. We excelled at X, Y, and Z. I learned A, B, and C, et cetera, et cetera. And now I'm ready to do my MBA. And if that's the route that they go, I would then also recommend that they find some side hustle that's more targeted to community and, you know, doing good in the wider world, and make that their sort of extracurricular. Because right now, all their extracurricular seems to be related to all these side hustle type stuff, right? But if they're working full time in a startup environment and doing really well there, and they're doing something interesting outside of work to complement, then yes, with a very strong GMAT, then knock on the door of these very, very top schools.
Yeah, I mean, I could not agree more. I feel like most of their outside activities point to this passion for, you know, VC, startups, crypto. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of consistency there. They even run a Twitter account, apparently. That's a fairly popular one that, you know, is about crypto. I feel like they need to go all in. The paralegal thing, I mean, at first I was like, well, you know, it's kind of different. But then I was like, most people who become a paralegal are thinking about going to law school. So while it might be unique to apply to business school from a paralegal job, the first question the admissions reader is going to have is, why aren't you going to, like, why did you take that job? You must have been thinking about law school. And if you were thinking about law school, why are you now thinking about business school? Like, it sort of presents this dilemma of, like, does this person know what they want, you know, kind of thing. So I would steer clear of that, and I would go, as you say, all in on crypto. I mean, they just don't seem interested in their current role. It's kind of a bummer because I never, you know, they're only there for a year, and you know, typically you like to see people stay a couple years in any given role, but times are different now too, so there's a bit more moving around. So in any event, yeah, get a great score, move out of your current role if you're not happy, and get into this crypto stuff, and hopefully that does well, and they can have some, you know, cool leadership opportunities because it's a small startup and stuff. So yeah, that would be my advice. And I think it's, you're right. One thing that's really amazing is that they've got plenty of time, right? Yeah. So it's really nice that they, so I would be remiss though, Alex, if I didn't call your attention to one other thing that they said in their note. They said, thank you for all that you do with the podcast. I've been flying through the podcast on Spotify at 2x speed on my morning commute, and I dropped a rating. So the thing that I wanted to call your attention to, Alex, is they're listening to this on like twice as fast as we record it. So that means that we probably sound like the chipmunks that Disney, I don't know if you remember the three.
Yeah.
Or it's like putting like a record on 45 when it's meant to spin at 33. So I don't know. This is, I think it's great that they're listening. I don't want to know what we sound like at 2x speed.
I must admit, I have been guilty of watching some YouTube clips at 2x speed, but hopefully we're not quite as dull as what I was watching at that time.
Hopefully. All right. So thanks to that person for the positive feedback on the show. Best of luck as they navigate this process and stuff. And so really appreciate that.
Hi, Alex. Hey, Graham. Congrats on making it to number 300. The work you do provided some really great direction for me, as I'm sure it has for countless others. I'm happy to share that I took your advice, and I'll be attending my MBA program a full year earlier than expected and on a full-ride scholarship. Can't thank you guys enough for your advice and everything you've done. Congrats again on episode 300.
Hey, Graham and Alex. I love the show. Congratulations on your 300th episode. Wishing you many more successful episodes in the future.
Let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number 3. So our final candidate on this 300th episode of the Clear Admit podcast is applying to Harvard, MIT, Stanford, and Wharton. They are kind of Kellogg Chicago curious, so I'll add those in there too because they mentioned in the comments that they're thinking about those too. They've got a target intake year of fall 24, so that means they're going to be applying this summer and fall. They have been working in consulting and corporate innovation. They want to get into venture capital, and they've got Battery Ventures, First Round Capital, Sequoia Capital on the list, as well as some others that were not in our database, I guess. They've got a 4.0 GPA, which actually technically, because they went to school in the United Kingdom, I think is a first class honors, so 1-1. They've been working for 4 years. They would love to stay in the UK if possible after business school. And, you know, this is the really interesting part too. So, Alex, you're going to love this, and I presume this is why you picked them out. But this person is a chemical engineer, who you often refer to as, you know, kind of being wicked smart. So they were not only a chemical engineer, but they graduated with honors, you know, top of their class kind of thing, top 5%. They also have a graduate degree in chemical engineering, I believe, and they did really well in that degree as well. I can't find the GPA right now, but I think they were top 3 in their class. So, super smart person. The other thing that's interesting is that they live in the UK, but they actually only went to the UK to begin their kind of studies, and they left Malta to go to the UK. So they're both Maltese from the UK. So they have this sort of dual nationality. And as they say in their note, they want to go to, you know, Stanford or Harvard. They've also got Wharton and MIT on the list. And they're just sort of wondering, you know, about what makes sense, where they should apply in round one, whether they should be looking at Chicago, Kellogg, or MIT. They're sort of on the fence about those three. And yeah, so I'll leave it there. But Alex, really interesting candidate, at least on paper here.
Yeah, like you say, wicked smart, chemical engineer, which is, I think, it's absolutely fantastic. They're working as a process engineer and so forth. Well, actually now in consulting. And it just looks like they've done really well at work, as well as having a very strong academic profile. The only thing that I'm missing here is we don't know much about who this person is outside of their work persona and their academic persona, right? So it'd be quite, you know, good to know, well, what are their hobbies and their interests unrelated to their work stuff. But aside from that, they've got, you know, they're going to take the GMAT in a couple of weeks. They're targeting 720, 730. Seems a bit of a lazy score to me for someone so smart, but... fair play. It's around the average of the schools they're targeting, a little bit below, actually. If they can get that 730, 740 or whatever it is, that sort of hits the median for the very top program. I mean, quite frankly, Graham, I think this is a top program candidate for sure. Right? Yeah. Whether it's Harvard, Stanford, that's their sort of choices. Wharton, I think, fits this candidate really well. They have questions about the culture at Sloan. I think the culture at Sloan will probably be absolutely fantastic for this candidate, and so forth. So yeah, they've got to nail the GMAT, but be good to know a little bit more about sort of who they are as an individual. And not only, you know, are they, you know, chemical engineer working super smart and this, that, and the other, but they, you know, they're working in climate tech, and so forth. So they're going to help solve some of the world's most sort of biggest problems, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the type of candidate top business schools need, right? So they've just got to do a good job of presenting themselves, show a little bit about their personal side, nail that GMAT, and yeah, I think this is an outstanding individual.
Yeah, agreed. I guess, they mentioned they do some, you know, community stuff, but it's, there's not a lot of detail.
It's work related.
Yeah, it seems like it's sort of diversity in tech at their firm. Yeah. You know, they founded one of the pillars of their company's Black Action Plan. Yeah. They've spoken at a lot of events, but it's unclear.
And Graham, all that's good, right?
Yeah.
But it's all work-related. It's like, well, what do you do when you check out of work?
Yeah.
Schools are interested in that, right?
Right. So what makes them, you know, this is funny because when I was at Wharton, and you may remember this, Wharton used to talk about like being a Renaissance leader. So being super smart, but also having like outside interests and things. So yeah, it'd be good to know like, what does this person do kind of for fun, or what are some of their other passions that aren't necessarily work related? You know, the other thing they did mention, I can't find it now, but they did talk about like how they're wondering about Sloan and whether... You know, they'd heard that Sloan like wasn't a very social place, and so they're wondering if they should substitute that in, take it out and substitute in a Kellogg or a Booth. And so, what's your take on that?
I can't believe that. Yeah. I mean, if you talk to a few people, I think that becomes sort of quite anecdotal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we know their outgoing admissions director for lots of years, Rod Garcia.
Yeah.
And he's actually a really good friend of mine. And, you know, he'll go on sailing trips with the alums like once a year or whatever, you know, something crazy like that. I mean, this is a really tight-knit group of folks.
Yeah.
And I think, in any MBA program, you're gonna have a cohort. You know, you're going to have some folks that are sort of introvert and don't fully engage and so on and so forth. And you might... There might be a perception that, you know, Sloan folks are a bit nerdier and stuff. But at the end of the day, there are going to be some absolutely fantastic folks at Sloan, no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of it is just more, it's a slightly smaller program, and maybe that's what is kind of, you know, coming through there. But I think of it as close-knit. I think people have a lot of fun. It's a very international community too. So, and it's in a great city. I mean, this is, as you say to the person, it's like, look at all three, Kellogg, Chicago, MIT, and just, you know, figure out where you fit. You know, because they're fairly similar in terms of like, if you're just looking at like ranking or something, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
So I would, just look carefully at each of them and what fits this person's goals. In any event, this is a great candidate.
It's not going to be an exercise that's going to yield a lot of benefit though, Graham, because Harvard, Stanford, and Wharton are going to come knocking.
Right. That's what I was just about to say, is that this person, you know, again, British and Maltese, presumably going to get a great GMAT score to go with the impressive academic profile, interesting work experience. So I think, as you would say, I mean, just a ton to like with this candidate. And I think they just need to buckle down.
And we can't discount this idea that their goals and you know what they're currently working on is really important stuff.
Yeah, agreed.
And schools know that. I mean, MBA programs have to educate and identify alums that are going to improve the global sort of field of play, because right now we're on a rocky road to disaster. It's, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, it's climate is a huge issue, right? This person looks well set up to be involved in sort of those issues.
Agreed. So in any event, best of luck to them. Thanks for sharing. I'm really like to thank them for sharing their profile on the site. We'll see how it all turns out, and they can keep us posted by updating their ApplyWire entry with news and notes.
Congrats, Alex and Graham, on your 300th episode of the Clear Admit podcast. Thank you guys for all that you do in the MBA admission space. If you're an applicant or you're thinking about applying to business school, you got to give Clear Admit a listen. They share stories from real applicants with backgrounds and experiences just like yours, and their advice is invaluable. Congrats again, you guys, and here's to many more.
Hey, Graham and Alex, just wanted to say congratulations on your 300th episode and a sincere thanks from myself and so many others for all that you do for us, from the podcast to the website to answering emails on the side. You've been a huge part of my MBA journey, and I could not have done this without you guys. Thanks so much, and best of luck to everything.
Alex, that's going to do it for this 300th episode of the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. Just really, again, big shout out to everyone who's been involved in making this podcast come to life. It's been a ton of fun. And to everyone who, you know, tunes in regularly, we really appreciate you and the fact that you're there listening week in and week out.
Yeah, that's 300,000 listeners to 300 episodes. I think that's pretty good, Greg.
Yeah, not bad, right?
No, that's brilliant. Yeah. And thank you to all those folks that listen. and all our team that helps Graham and I have a conversation every week and enjoy it.
Yeah. All right. So we'll do it all again next week, Alex, because we never miss a week. So I'll see you next week for another episode.
Very good. Stay safe, everyone. Best of luck. Take care.